Welcome to Passion Life Church.
Everybody who's watching on YouTube, we're live on YouTube every Sunday at 10 o'clock and on Facebook. And so if you can't make it, you're welcome to tune in. And so thank you for tuning in today. It's raining here in California. And so people showed up. It's amazing. I'm so proud of them. But if you're watching at home, hey, thanks for tuning in today. I believe God has something special for you. How many of you believe today God has something special for you? You know, amen. I'll tell you, the more excited you are, the quicker I preach. Come on, somebody. The more you're into the message, the shorter it goes. But the more quiet you are, we may be here for a long time. So we are an amen church. Feel free to clap if you hear something good. If I say something about your wife, go ahead and just hit her a little bit like this. Just touch her. I'm kidding. But we are an alive church. We are an amen church. And I'm so honored today to celebrate Easter with you, the resurrection. It is literally the greatest day in human history. Jesus, he rose from the dead. And the truth is, this is the foundation of all Christian doctrine, hinges on this true account that he rose from the dead. Now, I love Christmas, and how many of you love Christmas? I love Christmas, and I kind of felt, I'm going to be honest with you, I kind of felt like Easter came real quick this year. I feel like I'm just coming out of, like, you know, Christmas, and then now we're into Easter, and 2024 is kicked off, and we're all at the end of March, and I love Christmas. And Christmas, we celebrate the birth of our King, the birth of the King of Kings. But can I just tell you this? There was many kings who were born. But there was only one king who lived and actually predicted his own death and burial and resurrection. And my church friends, it all came true. There's no other king like the risen king. Can you say a good amen today? Amen. And this is the reason why Jesus came. He didn't come just so you and I could celebrate this resurrection, and we should, and I hope that we did. I hope that we put together something that is worthy of a celebration of a king. But I pray today that we wouldn't just celebrate his resurrection, but here's our prayer today for you, that you would actually experience a resurrection in your life today. What do I mean by that? I mean that maybe the areas of your life that just have seemed lifeless, maybe even some dead dreams and dead visions that maybe you have had at God could resurrect. Can I hear a good amen today? Because it's easy to go ahead and just clap and say, wow, you rose from the dead, and really not understand how it applies to our life. But I really believe that God doesn't just give people second chances. He actually takes dead people and makes them alive. He makes them alive. And so today, I want to share that gospel message with you, because I want to tell you something. The gospel is very simple. Like, we complicate it. I feel like we complicate the gospel. And the gospel, that's actually what it means in the literal translation. It means good news. Anybody tired of the bad news? Anybody tired of looking at the news wherever you watch, CNN, Fox, whatever? Aren't you tired of the bad news? Anybody tired of the bad news? Come on, anybody tired of the bad news? I'm tired of the bad news. But here's the great, we have the Gospel News Network today, and today is all about the good news of our Savior. And we could use some good news. I could use some good news. And the good news is this, here's number one, that Jesus loves you. Plain and simple, this is the gospel. John 3:16, it's the most famous scripture in all of the Bible. They hold up the poster at the football games. It says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever," would you say that with me? Would you say whoever? Whoever. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, are you a whoever? Just ask them. Whoever, listen to this, believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to notice what this says. It says whoever. So that doesn't mean, it means everybody. It doesn't mean the person that did something, they maybe did it again, who was sorry, and you know what? And then they did it again, that person. The person who, maybe you're in here and you feel guilt, or you feel shame, and you're like, man, I don't know if this could apply to me. It says whoever. And watch, here's the action that he asks us to take. It's whoever will believe. So this is actually a faith thing. It's a faith thing. And I say that because it's important, because it's not a love that you could earn. It's not a love that you have to work for. It's not a love that you and I have to strive for. It's not a love for the spiritually elite. It's actually a love, watch this, for whoever will believe. And here's the cool thing. Can I just tell you? Every single person can believe. I'm so glad that the criteria is not, listen, you got to get on a flight and you got to go to Jerusalem and you got to tour the Holy Land. That would be amazing. I haven't gone yet, but I want to go. But that's not the criteria for God so loving the world and you receiving that love. The love criteria is, would you believe that God loves you? Can you believe? Because here's the reality. If you're going to receive this love, you have to believe that God can love you. You have to believe before you receive. See, religion says this. Religion says that if I do enough rituals, if I do enough things, you know, God will love me. Maybe. Maybe he'll love me. You know, if I was just good enough, then I could, you know, maybe God would love me. So watch. Religion hinges on what you've done. So in this room today, those watching online, there's two belief systems right now. There's a person in here that says, I don't need this. I'm good. Jesus loving me, dying on the cross. I'm good. Okay. So you're good. What makes you good?
Well, you know, Pastor Phil, I recycle. I never buy bags. I always take my own bags to the store and I recycle. I'm good.
Okay. Pastor Phil, do you know that during the pandemic, I wore my mask every single day, even though I was driving alone in my car and I was running at the park by myself? God knows I didn't take my mask off. And let me tell you this, I didn't wear it like other people wore it like this. I actually wore it like this. And God knows my heart. I actually slept in my mask during the pandemic. I'm a good person. Some of you are laughing. And I'm not trying to make fun. I'm happy that you care about people. Pastor Phil, I care about the environment. I have my electric car. I'm a good person. We'll pray for all the hybrids and those still with gas. Oh, but I'm a good person. Pastor Phil, and if that doesn't say that I'm a good person, I'm going to tell you something. My wife wanted a new puppy, and I told her, we're not going to the breeders. We adopt, we don't shop. I am a good person. And even though we went to the animal shelter and the guy told me, this dog is 170 years in dog years, I don't recommend. Listen, we got him. I'm telling you, we got him. He died 2 weeks later, but I'm just telling you, I'm a good person. My wife won't forgive me, but I'm a good person. Listen, I'm glad you care about all those things, my friend. But that's not what makes you good. That's not what makes you righteous. That's not what makes us in right standing with God. So there's the person that says, I'm good. Then there's the second belief system that some people here say, this is really good. This sounds good. But you don't know what I've done. You don't know how many times I've done it. And listen, if you know what I've done, you probably wouldn't even be sitting next to me right now. But my friend, God knows everything that you've done. And the Bible says that he still loves you. And here's the reality. Both of these belief systems, notice who the focus is. It's on you, not Jesus. And so what we have to do today is we have to lift up our eyes from us and put it on Jesus. Because here's what religion is. Religion is, listen, I did it. It's my works. It's not praise God. It's praise you. Praise you because you did it. You earned it. My friend, God's grace can never be earned. It is undeserved, and yet he gives it to us freely to whoever will believe. Can I hear a good amen today? And my question is, can you believe? Can you believe? See, here's the reality about religion. Religion makes you the savior. You know, I have tried to be my own savior. I make a lousy savior. But thank God, because religion makes you the savior, but salvation says God saves us. God saves us. And so when I couldn't reach God, because of my sin, when I couldn't reach God, when I couldn't reach up to heaven, I'm so thankful, because you know what God did? God reached down to me. God reached down to me. How did he do that? By Jesus coming in the form of a flesh, in the form of wrapped in flesh and his earth suit. He was 100% man. He was 100% God. Come on, Jesus is 200%. Some of you trying to keep it 100, he was 200. Come on, somebody. 100%. He's not 50-50. He's 100-100. And he left heaven and his throne room to walk in flesh for you and for me. And the good news is, this is what Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrated his love. Notice, it's not a love in theory or just a warm feeling love. It's a love that is demonstrated. He demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Listen, let me ask you, when did Christ do this? Did he do this when you cleaned yourself up? Does this apply to when you made yourself perfect? Does this apply to when you felt like you were okay to do this? No, my friends. Actually, you weren't even born when Christ died. So Christ knew your need even before you knew you needed a Savior. I can't say that again. I'm sorry, because that was like the Lord speaking through me, because And I say that because we come up with all of these standards. And listen, before you were even born, this was taken care of. Your sin was taken care of on that cross for you. So while you were yet in sin, Christ died for you, whoever you are, if you can believe. I get excited about that. Because he did it before I cleaned up. He died when I was still in my mess. So watch. Again, Good News Network. I don't have to save myself. Whew. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to be my own Savior. And listen, many of you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And can I encourage you? You're going through some situations and you're still trying to be your own Savior. But we've got to relinquish control and surrender and say, remember when I received you as my Lord and Savior, but today in the circumstances that I'm facing, God, you're still my Savior. Anybody believe that today? You're still my Savior. I don't have to be my own Savior. Here's the good news of the gospel, number two, that Christ died for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and then he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. So here's the reality. Why did Jesus die? Why do we see this cross, which is the most famous symbol all around the world? It's significant that Christ died for us. But listen, not only did he die for us, he died because of us, but he also died as you. He died on that cross. See, the reality is that it should have been me on that cross. It should have been me on the cross. But it wasn't. It was Jesus on that cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, He who made him to be no sin. It says, to be no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So it's been said, and it preaches real good, Jesus died so you could live. That is true. But can I just tell you today, here's number three, Jesus died so you could die too. Come on, Pastor Phil, what happened to the good news stuff? What happened to the good news type? See, here's the reality. We want new life, but we don't want to let go of the old dead things. We want the new life, and the truth is we need to die to our sin. What happened on that cross is that my sin died there. He paid for my sin. Watch this. On the cross, guess what else died? My past died on that cross. Can I hear a good amen today? You know what else could die? My addiction died on that cross that day. My anger died on the cross that day. My bitterness that I had towards my dad that I had never met, it died that day. Jesus not only died so we could live, but he died so we could die too. So important. See, some of us want all new friends, but you know what? We won't leave the old friends that are constantly bringing us down. We want this new resurrected life, but you know what? We won't let go of the old. And can I just encourage you today? The life that God has for you will totally outweigh anything that has gone on in your past, anything that you've done. The Bible says he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or imagine according to the power that works within us. The best is yet to come. Everybody look at me this morning. I prayed for you. And I know that some of you, 2024 hasn't started like you thought it would. See, a lot of us, we think that life change happens on a date. New Year's, whoo, I'm ready. Yeah, how you doing with those New Year's resolutions right now? My friend, new life doesn't happen and change doesn't happen on a day on a calendar. Change happens when you allow God to do a work in your life and he takes away the old and he makes you new. Anybody glad you came to church on this Easter Sunday? The Bible says, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live, yet not but I. But he says, Christ lives in me. Paul says, look, I identify with Jesus' death. But look what he says, nevertheless, I live. So if I want to live unto God, I got to let my old self die. And then he says, look, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, watch this, here's this word again. I live how? By the faith of the Son of God. This is grace, my friends. My friends, grace is not you trying to get to God. Grace is God has already given his Son to you. My friends, God says, I want you to live for me. But here's what he does. He gives you his life so you can live for him. God says, I want you to love me with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you love. And so we love God with the love that he gave to us. We love God and we love people with the love that God has given to us. You know how I can love my enemies? Not with Phil's love, but I can love my enemies with the love that God has loved me with. And Paul says, watch this. This, to me, so encourages me. Paul says, I live this life. So God, Paul says, is living through me. How is it done? By the faith of the Son of God. Look at this. So not only does he give me life, love, not only does he give me forgiveness, my church family, but God also gives me the faith to live for him. So you can live for yourself, or you can allow God and his life to live through you. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like that. See, when I was 19 years old, I did everything that the world told me to do. All my friends told me to do. They said, smoke this, drink that, go out with that person, do all at 19 years old. I'm thankful, though, this happened at 19 years old so I could realize it. But at 19 years old, I was so empty. I was so empty. And I remember I was living in New Jersey because my parents lived in El Paso, Texas. I had so many problems. I actually had to move because there were some kids in my high school that wanted to kill me. They brought guns to school. And so, man, I was out of there. That's Texas. Come on, somebody. Even in high school. And I remember doing everything that everybody said. And I was so empty. And one night, 19 years old, in my uncle's house, because I couldn't even live at home, I got down on my knees and I said, God, I don't know where you're at, because I didn't even believe in him. But I said, this is my last attempt. This is my 911, God. If you don't interfere in my life right now, I'm going to take my life and I'm going to commit suicide. And you know what? I stopped for a moment and I heard this voice say, take your life. And I said, what? He said, take your life, give it to me, and I'll give you back a life that you could never imagine. And my church family and my friends, he has done
exactly that. And I'm telling you, I no longer live, but Christ lives through me. I still look the same. Come on, somebody. But it's Christ's life through me. But that night, I died. And guess what? Jesus began to live through me. And can I tell you, it's the best type of life. Oh, I love my life. I love the life that God has given me. I love our beautiful city. I love our church. Come on. I even started liking cats. Come on, somebody. I love my son. I'm trying to love the Steelers again, but you know, I'm happy. And it's only through the life that he gives us. Can I just tell you this about death? See, many people think death is the end. That's what Satan thought. When Jesus died, he thought this is the end. My friends, death is not the end. It's actually the new beginning begins in your life. But death has to happen so this life can start to happen in your life. And so the person you see here is not Phil. It's Phil with Christ living through me. And he'll do that for whosoever believes. My church family, this is why baptism is so important. Because when you get baptized, it symbolizes you going into the water, which is Christ's death, and then you go under the water, which is significant of his burial. And listen, when we do baptism, can I just tell you this? I know it was a process for Jesus, it was 3 days, but don't worry, if we baptize you, we're not going to hold you down for 3 days. Although I have had some ladies saying, my husband's getting baptized, could you just hold him down just a little bit longer? And how many of you know, come on, I'm a pastor. Sure, for a donation. Come on, somebody, put it right there. Mama didn't raise no fool. How long you want me to keep him under? Minute? Okay, each minute is 1,000. Come on, somebody. This is a pastor's joke, kinda. But we won't hold you down for that long, and we bring you up, and it's significant that your old life died on the cross, and you are new. My friends, Jesus died, but he didn't stay dead. This isn't some graveyard religion that we have. This is a God who is alive and wants to live through you, wants to help you, wants to be with you everywhere you go. And I'm telling you, my friends, he rose so you could rise. Listen, my friends, he did not give me a remodeled me. He didn't give me more of an improved, better of the old version of myself. I am a brand new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, here it is again. If anyone, would you say that with me? Say anyone. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Everything becomes new. Your DNA becomes new in God. You don't have to be worried about curses in your life and generational curses. No, everything becomes new, my friends. The word new creation means a new species. You know, a very religious man came to Jesus. His name was Nicodemus, and he came at night because the religious leaders didn't like Jesus. I call him Nick at Night. And so he came, and he was a Pharisee. So they had to have the first five books of the Pentateuch memorized, religious. And he asked Jesus about the kingdom of God. And Jesus said this in John 3:3. He says, Nicodemus, I have to tell you, unless you're born again, you can see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says, or probably any of us would say, born again, I go back in my mother's womb. And he says, no, I'm not talking about your physical body. I'm talking about your spirit. Your spirit needs to be made alive unto Christ. You need to become alive spiritually. See, my friend, you're a three-part being. You're a spirit first. You have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and you live in this temple. And God wants to live in you. That's why he rose from the dead. The temple and the tomb is empty, but now he lives in the temple. The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's pretty powerful. But listen to what he says, because your spirit is so important. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says, God has put eternity in their hearts. There's eternity that God has planted in your heart.
You know what eternity means in the literal Hebrew? Listen to this. An unending future. An unending future. A forever life. He is planted in your heart. So here's the frustration. Are you ready as I bring this to a close? Here's the frustration that many people had that I had at 19 years old. So we try to fill our eternal hearts with temporary things. And I just want to tell you today, you can't fill an eternal heart that has been planted in you with temporary things. See, many people think this. Many people think, man, if I could just get that one more zero in my bank account, if I could just get the promotion, and many of you have in your bank account, praise God, you are blessed. But can I tell you, you know that on the inside of you, there's still an emptiness. Why? Because temporary things can't satisfy eternity that's in your heart. And maybe you're single, and maybe even last night, maybe you had some great romantic escapades. And you've been on a journey, and you love Tinder. Come on, somebody. And guess what? You've had some great times, but you know you're still empty on the inside. You know why? Because God has planted eternity into your heart. C.S. Lewis said this, "If I find myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I am made for another world." I hope you get the house you want. I hope you get the car you want. I hope you keep working out and get the body fat reduction that you want. I hope you keep Botoxing and detoxing. Come on, somebody, we're in California. I hope you do all that, but many of you have, and you're still empty on the inside. You know why? You cannot fill eternity with temporary things. The only thing you can fill eternity with is the eternal one. Amen. And you can search and search and search. Let me just give you two examples. It's interesting because some of the ladies come to the tomb and Jesus had died and rose again, and there's an angel there, and they're just like looking for him. And the angel says this, watch this. I love this quote. The angel says to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for life in people that are not alive unto God?" See, I love people. And I will reach out to anybody. I spend time with people. But can I just tell you, my close friends are people of faith. Why? Because I don't look for the living among the dead. See, and all of us, maybe you're trying to make that step of faith, but all your friends are not. My friend, can I just tell you, attitudes create atmospheres. I know, because I had an addiction to nicotine, even though it was called Marlboro Light, there was nothing light about it. Because I was light for every day, smoking a pack a day, and I could not break the addiction. And I could not break the addiction with my friends who were right in my face. So you know what I had to do? I had to disconnect myself in a very kind way. And I said, "God, I need your help in this addiction." But I had to look for the living among the living. And some of us wonder why, you know, we just don't feel that alive when we're looking for the living among the dead. I had a friend. I thought he was my friend. And every time we got together, he always was negative. I found ourselves talking about people and gossiping about people. And literally, when I walked away, I actually felt, have you ever felt like you got word vomit on you? You're just like, ugh. And he was a cool guy. I liked him. Like, we shared a lot of similarities in life. But one of the things I started to find out is I distanced myself from him. I still loved him. I didn't ignore him. I was very kind to him. But I will tell you this. When I got away from the deadness of the relationship, I really began to experience life. And we look for the living among the dead. There's another experience at the tomb. Mary Magdalene, at another occasion, is crying. And the person behind her says, "Why are you crying?" And she says, "My Lord, I'm here to see my Savior." And Jesus says, "I am He." And it's amazing to me because she thought he was a gardener. A gardener. She didn't even recognize, listen, that the person that she was looking for
all along was right there, staring her in the face, ready to have an encounter with her. And my friends, I want to tell you what you have been looking for all along. And see, I don't even have to tell you about eternity being true because you know it in your heart already. You feel it. You feel the voice. You feel it. And I want to tell you, Jesus has been staring at you all along. And he's been right there all along. And today's your day to experience a resurrection. See, the eternity in your heart can only be satisfied with an eternal Savior. Listen to what Jesus said. John 11:25. Jesus said he was at the tomb of Lazarus. He was about to raise him from the dead. He said, I am resurrection. I am the life. Here we go again. He that what? Believeth in me, though he were dead, he shall live. That's me. I was dead. And I thought, man, if I give my heart to the Lord, give my life, I'm going to die. No, actually, guess what? You will live. And those who ever liveth and believeth, he will never die. So on your deathbed, you do not have to fear death. The Bible says that death has no sting, that when you close your eyes for the last time here on earth, you will open them up in the presence of the living God. And he, Jesus, died to forever connect you with your Savior, to forever in eternity, my church family, give you a forever future. It's very powerful. And he rose so you could rise. He died so you could die. Jesus doesn't just give life. He is life. Jesus doesn't just do resurrections. My friend, he is resurrection. And let me close with this. Where is Jesus right now? You know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that he literally stands at the door of your heart and he's knocking. And so some of you, you say, you know, I don't know if I'm worthy enough. I don't know if I could do this. That's not actually the question. Because Jesus is knocking at your heart. The question is, will you let him come in? Will you let him come in? Wow, that's a big, do you ever think that you could limit God? People say, no, I can't. Absolutely. God has a will. He gave you a will. You today can choose him, or you can choose to go and live your whole life like you've been living it. Or today, you can experience the resurrection in your life. My family is real, and God wants to do it today in you. Would you bow your heads as the worship team comes for just a moment? Will you let him in? See, this flow of life involves the tangible presence of Jesus. And so when we understand the purpose of that tangible presence of God and cooperate with it, life is the result. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You know, when I preach to young preachers about preaching, I say, never assume anything. You can't assume that everybody feels a certain way. But can I tell you this? I'm not going to assume, but I'm going to ask. Would you all agree today that the one question that we're always asking ourselves is, can I have a better life? Can I have a better life? Can life get better? Is there more? I want to tell you today, there is more. Oh, there's way more than you could even think. And Jesus today wants to come inside your heart, forgive you of all of your sins, love you like you've never been loved before. And I want to ask you a question. As he stands today on the door of your heart knocking, eternity is in your heart. Will you let the eternal one come in? How do you do that, Pastor Phil? Today you decide to believe. Do you try? You believe. And can I just encourage you? I know sometimes when we say that, it's like, well, this happened, that happened. I understand life's happening and circumstances have happened, but can I just say, just make a decision today to believe, and he will help you work through everything in your life. You are not alone. I'm going to say a prayer today, and it's as simple
as this. This is how we believe. This is how we have faith. The Bible says we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. Can you identify with Jesus on the cross that today he took all of your sin, my friends? I think you can. You can believe. Can you open up your heart today and allow him to come in? And I actually believe today that when we say this prayer today, that what's going to happen is many of you are actually going to start feeling healing in your body, because the Bible says if the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will affect your actual physical body. And so today I want to say a prayer. If you've never said this prayer, I want you to say it with me. Passion Life Church, would you say it so the people that are saying this prayer won't feel like they're alone? Come on, let's say it with faith. Repeat after me. Say, Father God, come on, I can't hear you. Father God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me. Father God, forgive me of all of my sin. Jesus, I open the door to my heart. I repent today. Come in to my eternal heart. I receive the eternal one. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, Passion Life, let's give all of those who prayed a good round of applause.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you were encouraged and uplifted by today's message. For more information about Passion Life Church, visit us online at passionlifechurch.com.